Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com. Yes, it's love in the third degree.
Welcome back to the show. Coming up later, we'll get your weekend forecast with Gary Lezak. We'll get a Mizzou football camp update from Eli Drinkwitz at 8:05. Then we'll talk to former Royals catcher Mike McFarland about the moves the Royals made at the trade deadline and the new faces in the lineup now. And then Tim Grunhard will talk Chiefs with us the entire 9 o'clock hour, as I am live from training camp at Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center covering Chiefs camp all week long. No practice today, but lots to talk about from what happened yesterday, including some more comments from Steve Spagnuolo, who is one of, if not my favorite person to go to the podium, certainly of the coaches. Although Dave Tobe talking about who's been impressive on special teams really gave us a lot of hints as far as who has the inside track to making the final roster spots this year. I thought that was very informative this week. But I wanted to ask you, Stan, about a specific player that I've been watching. We had a chance to talk to him earlier this week, and I was really impressed with hearing his story and a little bit about his background, you know, spending a couple of years in St. Joe. He said he went, when he was a kid, went to 15 different schools, ended up playing at Blue Springs, where he was a two-time Buck Buchanan Award winner, and then went on to be a star at Kansas State, and that's Elijah Lee, because he's been getting a lot of time running with the ones. And Dave Tobe was very complimentary of his work on special teams. I asked him, how his time at Kansas State impacted his focus and his success on special teams in the NFL. And he talked about that and about how that really got him ready to become a special teams contributor at the NFL level. And the excitement of now him, you know, playing, you know, being at training camp at a place where he used to live in St. Joe and then playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so he's been getting a lot of looks, and I think, especially after listening to Dave Tobe talk about him on special teams, I think Elijah Lee is going to be a nice part of this football team. Tell me what you know about Elijah Lee and what you think he can do for the Chiefs.
Elijah Lee, a little like Willie Gay, is a really athletic player. You start there. You don't say, oh, boy, he's got the giant shoulder pads and going to knock people backwards. He's more of a guy that can get out and run. When he came to the NFL, he was that athletic player. He learned a lot at K-State about the hard work and the focus you got to have, the study habits, how important special teams are. Bill Snyder, once in a while, when you get Coach Snyder to talk about things, and we say, you know, do people say things or not? Well, Coach Snyder's very good at not giving too many opinions. He doesn't want to step on anybody's toes. But once in a while, he'll let down and say this. You know, K-State may not produce NFL players like other schools. He doesn't say like Alabama. I'm obviously filling in a lot of words of what I think he means. But, you know, the K-State players, you may not say that there's so many of them in the NFL, but if a guy makes a team, you notice how long they stick, how they stay in the NFL. They're not taken back about the amount of intellectual knowledge that they've got to take in and take to the field. The discipline, the internal discipline you have to have to work out and play hard and realize that you're trying to help the team win, but if you don't take care of yourself, you're going to be cut. You've got to be mentally strong, believe in yourself, all those things. And Coach Snyder, I think, takes a lot of pride that if a guy can make it in the NFL, he is ready to be an NFL player after going through the system that K-State has put together. And Elijah Lee really is like that, because he was a borderline guy to make the NFL roster when he was out on the West Coast. But he continued to play more and more and establish himself and become a starter and a guy who was making plays. He wasn't a star. You know, the 49ers didn't have to keep him and franchise tag him or anything like that. He was just a good, solid player, the kind of player that plays a while at one team and then, you know, moves on to another And here he comes in at into Kansas City. And, Stephen, I'm glad you brought him up. He has a local tie, not only K-State, but right here in Kansas City for his high school. He's an underrated signing. I mean, Dunlap, we talk a lot about him because he came in now, right? But how much do the Chiefs need good linebacker play? I think they need it a lot. There is an opportunity to upgrade, and they need to be able to have guys like Willie Gay. But Elijah Lee could turn out being better than Willie Gay. That's the kind of player he might be. He's a grown-up right now. And he is going to be able to be a factor for the Chiefs for a lot of reasons. We just talked about how having an appreciation for being a part of the Kansas City Chiefs organization, that spark needs to be brought to the locker room. Well, how about a kid who grew up in this area, Stephen, coming back and being able to play for the Chiefs? You don't think that means a lot to him to throw on that red helmet? It's not just, hey, I'm a pro, moving to another team. He knows what it's like to be a Kansas City Chief. He knows what it's like to step on the field at Arrowhead and fulfill a dream. I think that is so good. But he also understands what it takes to be a pro. He's improving well enough to be a down-after-down starting linebacker. If not that, third-down sub-packages. He can do those things, and he will play special teams. So this guy is going to be valuable. If the Chiefs get better linebackers than him and say, you know, you're not good enough to get on the field very much as a linebacker, he'll kill it as a special teams player and not look down his nose and say, well, what, you know, at my age, you think I should be specializing here on these special teams and these units or Dave Tobe? No, that's not the mentality. Again, he may not run down on every special team for K-State because he's one of the best players when he was a Wildcat. I tell you what, he appreciates what special teams means, learning from K-State. And I think he is getting better. Stephen, watch Elijah Lee. This is not just a feel-good local story. He's a guy who may be making plays for the Chiefs as part of this upgraded defense, this physical defense.
It was cool to hear him talk about he said he was a ball boy up here at training camp in St. Joe for a couple of years, and how he would watch Tamba Ali and watch Derek Johnson, and those are some of the guys that he looked up to on the Chiefs defense. And here is when I asked him about his time at K-State and how that influenced his the importance of special teams in his mind.
How much of that appreciation of special teams come from your time in Kansas State? Because very few colleges, you know, focus on special teams the way that the Wildcats do.
That's an advantage for me. Coach Schneider, great coach, Hall of Fame coach. You take advantage of every opportunity. Doesn't matter if you're starting, special teams, however you do it, you put your best foot forward. And I'm a strong believer, your work on special teams put you in a position to play on defense or offense.
You started to get a lot more requests now that you're back home all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, you know. Yep. People pulling me every which way, and I'm like, man, I got to take advantage of this opportunity. I got to go get this job first. This isn't, you know, handed to me. I'm a guy trying to earn my spot, and I do that each and every way. So whichever my role is, you know, I'm going to take advantage of that, and then we can talk after that. But right now it's all about the work.
Spags loves him. Dave Tobe talked about how good he's been on special teams. So, yeah, and like I said, he's had a lot of work running with the ones. Nate Buchady, we talked about Elijah Lee a lot so far this training camp.
Yeah, his name's come up a lot, and I love that mindset of taking advantage of every opportunity that he talked about learning from Coach Schneider. And, yeah, you know, we'll talk about tickets. We'll talk about all that other stuff. Those are distractions right now. I got to earn my spot on the team first. That's a healthy mentality. I like him. Every time I hear him talk, he spoke very well about mental health and the things that he dealt with growing up, going to 15 different schools, I think he said, as a kid, and how much he's progressed in that area as well. And it goes back to what you said, Stan. You can't stick in a league unless you're just an otherworldly athlete. Like, you have to be an other, because all those guys are phenomenal athletes. You can't stick in a league like the NFL if you're not mentally strong in some capacity. You just can't do it, because it's not just the physical game. There's so much mental when it comes to discipline, you know, toughness, all those things. You got to have it, or else you're not going to last in the league. And he's clearly got all that.
And the other thing I think he's an ascending player. I don't think sometimes you look at his age and, you know, like Willie Gay's much younger, drafted by the Chiefs. Why wouldn't be excited about him? But I wouldn't be surprised if Elijah Lee didn't beat him out is a better answer, because I think Elijah Lee's better you know, his second year as a pro, he was better than he was in college. He truly was still improving. Maybe I didn't know as much about his background. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, being at 15 schools and stuff, he was a work in progress at K-State more than I would have noticed, because I saw him making good plays out there. But I've watched him as a pro, and he's continually gotten better. And I think he's going to do that with the Chiefs. I think we're going to see a better version here than we did so far in his NFL career. He's not too old. And Spagnuolo is going to demand an unbelievable mental capacity. Mm-hmm. He has a complicated defense. Again, Steven, you played a clip earlier today, and when he talked about Carlos Dunlap, he said he played in a four-man front. He says, we're multiple. Stop right there. He said, we're multiple. When you watch a Chiefs defense, they expect to be able to run out of odd man front. Even they're going to be all kinds of packages. They're going to be blitzes from places you cannot imagine. It is aggressive. It is not the normal NFL defense. It's an NFL defense with another additive ability to understand what we're bringing to keep the offense off balance. And guess what Elijah Lee's going to do? From his K-State training to being a pro as long as he has, these, like, Chanel's going to be out there saying, okay, I got it. I think I got it. And Elijah Lee's going to go, no, I got it. And not making mistakes, being decisive. What do these guys all talk about? We're going to fill them with all this information, but we want them to play with clear minds. Well, wait a second. We want them to play with clear minds and play fast. That's what every defensive coordinator tells me when we talk. You know, we want them to play fast. But they can't simplify. Mm-hmm. You know, Spagnuolo's not going to simplify. And so I'm so high on Elijah Lee as someone the Chiefs signed. You know, it's like getting excited about a seventh-round draft pick or a fourth-round pick that the Chiefs weren't talking, we weren't thinking was going to be a big factor and ends up being a starter. Elijah Lee is a giant signing, in my mind, for what the Chiefs did in the offseason.
Well, not only is he a veteran on a complicated defense, he's going to be a veteran on a complicated defense surrounded by young players. And I think that makes it that much more important. I mean, you heard him, Steven, when you played the sound bites from Spags about when Adam Teicher asked him, who are you looking at in these preseason games? I was waiting for him to say, well, all the young guys, you know, all the rookies, I want to see them play. And what did he say? He said, the signal callers. He wants to see the guys in the middle of the field. I thought that was very insightful, because I think part of what he's looking for is he needs guys out on the field that can communicate to all those young guys.
In a split second.
Yeah.
Because they not only make complicated calls, they adjust the calls
right
before the snap. So like a guy like Juan Thornhill's got to be ready to roll.
Justin Reed,
right?
You know.
One of those two
both of them probably.
Spags said Thornhill's probably more ready to take that kind of role because he's been around it.
Yeah.
But Tyrann Mathieu used to get everybody where they needed. Sorensen would help get the communication to everybody with what they needed, and miscommunication leaves you a gap.
Because
at the end of the day, you got 11 players. Your front's got six or seven. There's really eight gaps. Everyone's assigned a gap, no matter if they come from 15 yards, 10 yards away. And if you have a miscommunication and two guys are trying to play between the guard and center and they leave the guard and tackle gap completely wide open, that's when you see them bust through. 10-yard gain may turn into a 50-yard gain. So the knowledge and stuff is very, very important. And you look at what the Chiefs did at the linebacker position. I don't know which guys are going to stand up or how well they're going to play. Anthony Hitchens, everyone wants to cut him down because he's gone. You know, but the thing was he was solid in there for the Chiefs. He was a known commodity. He was a pro. I always said, you know, when he came from Dallas, I said he's not going to be physical. He's not going to hit anybody at the line of scrimmage. He's the best guy at grabbing someone for a 4-yard gain and tackling them. I mean, he's where he's supposed to be a little bit later than I'd like him to be. And that's exactly what it ended up being with the Chiefs. But he was a reliable pro. He communicated well. He knew what he's doing. Now you look out there and you think Bolton is like a veteran. I mean, this guy's playing in his second year. And you're counting on him as being a rock. They have thrown a lot of guys at the linebacker position. But there's a lot of growth for them to play at the level, but there's the chance for them to do it. Even a guy like Mike Rose may not make this team, but he could be one of those players that you're watching preseason and go, wait a second, who's this free agent? This kid from Iowa State can make plays as well. He might be a practice squad player and later someone who can make a play. They've got a lot of guys at linebacker who can get some things done. I'm excited about that, but it's going to be a lot of pressure on him to play at a high level down after down.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, you know, Willie Gay has looked great in coverage. He's had a couple of nice interceptions. He had one pick in the end zone in coverage a couple of days ago. He had a pick six. He has said that he wants to lead all linebackers in interceptions this year, which is a lofty goal, but he's looked terrific. Nick Bolton's looked great. Leo Chenal, when you get Leo Chenal in pads, that was a different story, man. You could tell he couldn't wait to hit. He's going to be, you know, again, he's a rookie. There's going to be a learning curve there, but big and physical and a hard hitter. And Elijah Lee's looked terrific. The upgraded linebacker over the past couple of seasons has been dramatic, and I think you're going to start to see that really play out this year as that position becomes a position of strength for the Chiefs. Let me play a couple of other clips from Spagnuolo, since we all like listening to him, and he had lots to say yesterday. Here he was talking more about a couple of the draft picks at cornerback. Trent McDuffie gets the headlines. He's the first-round pick, but they got Josh Williams in the fourth round, and Jalen Watson has been getting some looks with the ones also, and he was the seventh-round pick, but he's looked good as well. And Spags was asked what he's looking for from Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson when he's giving them a chance to run with the ones.
Yeah, a little bit of challenge in each guy. I mean, nobody is handed over a spot, right? So when you get a little bit comfortable, that's not a good thing in this business. So we do that just to make sure that they're all aware that nothing's won right now. Nothing's carved in stone right now in terms of who's playing where and what. Now, we'll eventually get there. But, you know, and the other thing is when you're at any position, when you're maybe playing with the third group and all the third group guys are all young, it doesn't go off quite as smooth. You know what I mean? So sometimes we put him at the first group to see how he functions when everybody's functioning fast. You're working with Nick, you know. And so that's a reason why we put Jalen up there a little bit to see what he thinks. I thought he's had two really good practices. I mean, were you in yesterday in the indoor there? The first couple of snaps there, I thought he did a really nice job in coverage. And he's come along. He was kind of a slow mover early. I think he's kind of figuring out that doesn't really work at this level. So you got to practice everything fast.
And that was more about Jalen Watson there at the end. But again, a little insight into how Steve Spagnuolo handles things up here at training camp with the getting some of the rookies in with the ones to help accelerate their progress, Dan.
It's, again, he gives you so much information. It's like a scientific experiment. What do you do when you do a scientific experience? You got to control almost everything and just leave one variable and then check it against another way of doing it, and now you know that that variable is the one we're looking at, right? And it's exactly what you've got to do. If you play all the third-team guys together and things don't go quite as well as they should, and the pass is completed against the defense and it was easy, whose fault was it? Who made good plays? Who made bad? You can't tell because everyone's running like chickens with their head cut off. But if you say, let's put the rookie cornerback in with the starting defense, uh-oh, you know what the variable is right there. The other guys are going to do their job. It's going to look good. And if there's a breakdown over in your area with that cornerback, if there's a mistake, if it creates an opening, let someone get open, it's pretty easy to say we're getting a good read on this guy. How smart is that? And that goes back to what the NFL, the thing that limits the NFL coaches right now is reps. Dick Vermeil's going into the Hall of Fame, and he could have a four-hour practice if he needed to mm-hmm. learn everything he possibly could, but get everybody in certain rep situations, right? You can't do that now. You've got limited reps, limited time periods. They got to do walkthroughs. They can't even practice more than once a day. So every time you put that rookie into that experiment, I'll call it, and say go play a cornerback with the starters, even though you might not yet be a starter, you've got to say, how much can we do this? You know, that is the projection that these coaches have to do. They used to figure it out on the field. The physicality, they had them hit all day. You guys have Tim Grunhardt on later today. He'll talk about how much they hit. You knew what the center could do after a three-hour Dick Vermeil practice. If he can make that block, if he can stop that nose guard, if he can cut him off on the backside, if he can pass block. Now you have, you know, no helmets or, no football pants, light shoulder pads, and then you walk through all this stuff and it's so hard to figure out. So it's very interesting that he says something that's so logical, but then I look at those coaches and go, I don't know how you guys do it now because you don't have very many reps out there. Also, I want to point out what he said about walkthroughs for those that were listening for a little while. He said we'd do it quickly. Now, that's very dangerous language that he used, because if he means that the players run when they're doing their walkthrough, they break NFL rules, and the NFL Players Association could get on them. Okay? He didn't mean that. He meant between the plays, because they kind of, okay, go, and everyone kind of walks at a fast pace, and then they go, okay. But he's talking about between plays, like boom, next play, boom, next play, boom, next play, to make their minds go fast. But he can't have them speed up. He did not mean we play faster and more physical during walkthroughs, because that is breaking the rules. And there are now consequences to that. You hear teams in the offseason get nailed for being too physical at OTAs. Mm-hmm. You've heard that. So, I mean, I like the you know, one thing good about the NFL is they have the rules and they are applying them. You know, if you go over the speed limit, they'll usually call you out. And in the old days, it'd be like, yeah, who cares what the posted speed limit is? I'm going to drive way faster than that. So, again, he's talking about in-between plays. Steven Spagnuolo, his information per word is as good as anybody I think I listen to.
Yeah, I want to mention, we've got a tweet from Mike from Midtown. He loves the talk about Elijah Lee, and he said, and I mentioned that, you know, he was spent some time in St. Joe. Lee played at Central in St. Joe as well. So give us some love up here, and we will, and we just did. And I mentioned that he was a ball boy up here at training camp for a while. So St. Joe can claim Elijah Lee. Kansas City can claim Elijah Lee. Blue Springs can claim Elijah Lee. K-State can claim Elijah Lee. And now Kansas City, everyone does, because he's a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's got everyone in this region rooting for him, Stan Weber.
Did he say, is it true that he said, I was a ball boy and I was watching these NFL players, but I saw Stephen St. John on the sideline reporting on practice. Stephen St. John right over there. Did he say that?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes these guys are awed by the media members. You know, Vin Scully died this week, and we're all talking about what great memories that brings. I'm just wondering, as a young ball boy, if he said, hey, I recognize Stephen St. John right over there. And that's Mitch Holta standing next to him.
There's Nate Buchady.
He's kicking it. Who's the guy kicking the soccer ball over there?
Yeah, that's right. What the hell are you kicking the soccer ball at cheese camp for?
Do you juggle those? What do you guys call it when you tap it up and keep it up in the air and tap, tap, tap?
Yeah.
You don't call that dribbling if it's
juggling.
In the air. Juggling?
Yeah.
Okay.
The English people say keepy uppy. That's what they call it.
Hey, we'll play a couple of more clips before we break from Spags. I don't want to waste any of Spags' sound. But here, the talk shifted into the defensive line, and specifically Frank Clark and how he's been working with George Karloftis after practice every day. And so here, Spags talks about Clark becoming a mentor for the rookies on the defensive line.
Frank is really taking it upon himself this year to be that kind of guy. Now, what that tells me when George is saying that is that he wants to receive that kind of information. And if he's talking about it, that means he enjoys it. You know, some guys don't. Every personality is different. But George is a sponge. He does that with everything. He's over there asking me questions. He's asking Joe questions. He's asking Terry questions, every vet that he can. He'll text Coach Cullen questions. I mean, that's a pretty good trait, right? Maybe he's texting Frank questions, too. I don't know.
And then after practice yesterday, Carlos Dunlap's first practice, Carlos Dunlap, Frank Clark, and George Karloftis were working together, and you could see Dunlap and Frank Clark giving some tips and working with George Karloftis for a while after practice. So then I followed up with some more. I asked another question about Frank Clark from Steve Spagnuolo.
Frank talked about some of the physical changes that he made in the offseason.
I missed you, sir.
Frank talked about some of the physical changes. What have you seen from him physically? He dropped weight, cut alcohol and red meat out of his diet. Is he a lot different than last year?
He does. He looks lean right now. But listen, Frank, I've always said this about Frank. He's powerful from here down. Way back when I was in Philadelphia, we had a guy by the name of Hugh Douglas. Now, Hugh was thicker than Frank, but I always would watch Hugh, and I just felt like the reason he was such a good player was because of how strong he was from here down, not necessarily what he had up top. And so even though Frank may look a little light, his long arms and his explosiveness from the hips down, I think he still has that.
So there are some good comments about George Karloftis.
Did you hear what he
Frank
just said?
Clark.
Did you hear what he just said? Listen to those words. He has questions if he's too light.
Yeah.
That's basically what he said. Now, I loved what Frank Clark said when he had immediate opportunities and kind of the reconviction that he's had for this season and the explanation of a lack of discipline and focus that probably explained how he played last year. And it's hard to not, you know, fall back into the same tendencies when you walk out in the field. But it's very interesting that there's trade-offs, you know, like, hey, I don't eat any meat and I'm lighter weight and all that. And I thought he put out some interesting points. I thought Spagnuolo kind of said, he looks a little thin, and then tried to bounce back with some other things. Well, he's not quite as thick as Hugh, but, you know, he's got that speed down there. So I think it's good that he's rededicated himself. I think Frank Clark could be a better player. But I think Spagnuolo just told us, I would still like to see him put 5 or 10 more pounds back on the body to get ready for the NFL season. I don't know if you guys heard it that way, but that's what I heard.
Well, I definitely heard I think the way he put it was, I think he'll still be strong even though he's lighter. You know, and that's the positive way to say it, right?
But if we're saying Spagnuolo says a lot, say those words again. You just said,
no,
did he say I?
Something like, I don't remember the specific quote, but I did hear that in there. Like, there's a little bit of that concern. Well, that's the balance.
Just a trade-off. I don't know if it's concern, but it's the trade-off of
the speed versus power thing. You know, you hear running backs talk about that sometimes. It's like, well, I want to be at 205 because if I put 10 more pounds of muscle on, I lose some of my quick twitch explosion. But if I get below 205, I'm not powerful enough to take the punishment that comes with the position. And so finding that balance. But I'm guessing for Frank Clark, it's like, yeah, I lost 10 pounds, but those weren't 10 pounds of muscle. That was 10 pounds of fat. You know, hopefully he's like, I lost that 10 pounds of fat, and I'm still just as strong as I was, but now I'm quicker. And because remember, that was one of the big problems with him last year was his get-off. He didn't, you know, they measure guys' get-off now when on the snap, and he didn't have that explosion. And
plus, if you're in better shape, you can do it longer.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things. They get tired. Mm-hmm. And their rep isn't, you know, their get-off isn't as good because they get a little worn out and they don't realize it.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll be able to push through a little. That's a little tangent right there because they really were talking about Karlofkis. And I think it was really well stated by Spagnuolo that you really got to want to receive it before these other. It's not these veterans are perfect people and the great leader and going over there and teaching the young guy. The young guy's asking. And he's so receptive to it that they continue to say, this is sincere. He really wants to know. But if I think of him, if Hard Knocks were with the Chiefs, he'd be a guy they're following. Because they'd love his little quotes about asking questions to the veteran on this rep, even not when he's not on the field. You know, that kind of enthusiasm. Can't you see that player play out on Hard Knocks where they love the new guy who's so excited and wants to get out there? But being a sponge gives him a better chance to make plays. And he's really, I think, probably made those guys give him a lot of information. And I had a professor, the best professor I ever had, that said, you don't know it, whatever the subject is, you don't know it until you can explain it to someone else. Because sometimes you just do stuff, but until you can explain it to someone else, you really don't know it. And I think forcing these veterans to talk about little things that they might not even realize they do, and he asked, like, do you do that on purpose? You know, why do you do that little shoulder twitch when you're going toward the offensive lineman? And they go, I don't know. And then, so I think it's great that those guys get a teach because I think they'll bring it back and look in the mirror and make their own game better.
Well, we've got Stan Weber in studio. We'll have more football talk after this on WHB.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Anthony Cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Stephen St. John in St. Joseph, Missouri, where I've been covering Chiefs training camp and staying at Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center. We have, and I love Stony Creek, it's fantastic. And now we have, of course, Stan Weber in studio with Nate Bucati back in Kansas City. Let me play a couple of clips from the new pass rusher for the Chiefs, Carlos Dunlap. We played a couple in the 6 o'clock hour. Here's some more from Carlos Dunlap. Let's play number 14, Marco Marquez. Carlos Dunlap talks about what he was told by Brett Veach and Andy Reid that persuaded him to sign with KC.
The opportunity to play in every down, obviously we'll be rolling because we got a young bull, first round pick, who has a lot of talent. Sky's the limit for him. So the opportunity to play in every down, you know, at this point in my career, because I've been a closer in so many games and have 96 sacks in my career, you know, they try to correlate, you know, with being older, taking down your snaps, but featuring you in passing situations. But I like to eat and, and wherever you put on the table, you know, I like a what is the word?
First down just as much as third.
Yeah, I like first. I mean, I could say it just like that. Yeah, first and second downs are just as important to me as third down. Obviously, I've done many things on third down, closed many games on third down, but I feel like if you impact the game early on first and second down, you can put the game away even sooner. And clearly, these guys have lit up the scoreboard many and one time. So, look forward to contributing my strengths to what they already do well here.
I identify with Carlos Dunlap. I like to eat wherever they put it on the table. Didn't matter to me. I'll eat, you know? So, I like that.
That makes two of us. I know Nate is much more disciplined.
I wish that was the case. I'm.
Put it on the table and I'll eat.
Yeah, that's right.
Here Carlos Dunlap talks about his goals for this season.
No, because getting over 100 puts me, in the top? I think I need 103 to get in the top 50-something or 40-something. So I want to shrink that down to at least get to, you know, maybe top 25, 32. So 100 is a big milestone that I will, you know, enjoy and celebrate and be proud of. But 4 sacks on the year is not my goal. I you know, try to average 8. He said 6 the last few years, but I try to average 8 a year. And I want to go for more than that, obviously. And I put my money where my mouth is with the deal we did, structured it that way, for, you know, the incentives to increase it.
See, there you go. So a little tidbit there from Carlos Dunlap, an incentive-laden contract. The more sacks he gets, the more money he makes. He's motivated. So there's another reason why he's motivated, Stan, with incentives in his contract. He's got 96 sacks. He wants 100. He's never won a playoff game. He wants to win a playoff game. He wants to play at Cincinnati and beat them, right? He wants to be in the top 30 or top 25 all time of sacks. He hasn't won a playoff game. He's been that good of a player for, you know, 13 years now. And so he's motivated. He's aware of you know, how he can rise up the ranks of career sack leaders, all these different aspects of why he comes in motivated. And like you said, a guy that can remind some of the other Chiefs players, man, don't take this for granted. I've been in this damn league now for 13 years, and I still haven't won a playoff game. So I think that is powerful. That's a great influence to have in that locker room, Stan.
It is, and he is going to be an interesting guy to listen to all year long. I just hope the Chiefs aren't behind when he gets his 100th sack, because I don't want to see him celebrate too much when the team's losing. I think he might do that. You know, Lamar Jackson, isn't he his own agent, the star quarterback for the Ravens? Carlos acts like he is ready to be his own agent. I mean, he acts like he knows exactly what's in that contract and the incentives for him to make more money, and there's not an accident that the contract's done the way it's been done. And you know, this guy's obviously not a rookie. Double digit number of years in the NFL, he kind of understands that balance between this is a business and it's also a game. So when you spoke about Steven, that he wanted to win a playoff game, things like that are really team oriented, yet he also seems to remember that this is also a business.
And he knows.
He knows that don't play to a good level, they'll cut your butt and you're out of here. You know, so he's got some veteran things to tell these youngsters about what they need to do to continue to be good pros. But I love the fact that there is that team atmosphere, because you finish your career, and yeah, you're going to have a lot of money if you play as long as he did. You're going to have some records. You're going to be on some NFL all-time stat list, it looks like. He's going to be able to get that 100th sack and move on from there. But I tell you what, you remember those playoff wins. You remember that success on the field, division championships, playoff wins, Super Bowl appearances, and Super Bowl championships. And he has a chance to bust into the world that is actually something that sticks longer in your heart. Now, the money is so important, because they're trying to, you know, feed their families like everybody else. But the thing he's going to really remember is if he can bust through and get some playoff wins. And he will, down the stretch, he will be excited because I think the players need it. They play 17 games now. You get worn out. The weather's cold. You're playing those last three or four, and you're kind of grinding through, expecting to win because you're the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think he'll be there to help with energy. Like, let's do not take this for granted. Let's do not blow this 2022 season. Every win is going to be big as I prepare to get to the playoffs. And that's true. It will be. Especially in this division. Wow. The AFC West. Or just the AFC. I mean, I could be excited every year about the NFL because they got it going on. There's no doubt. But you think about the run to the Super Bowl this year. How many teams legitimately can believe that they're on the cusp or ready to be in the Super Bowl? And I don't remember it being this large, because it used to be the Pittsburgh Steelers organization and everything was in order. The New England Patriots, they had such an advantage over everybody else. Andy Reid with the Chiefs, an advantage. But now you don't talk about Pittsburgh and Roethlisberger. You don't talk about Brady and Belichick in New England. We're not talking about those two in the AFC so much, and yet there's tons of AFC teams. They're going to play good. The regular season is going to be a war.
I mean, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, you know, and then add Russell Wilson to it. You know, I mean, like the young star quarterbacks in this league are in the AFC.
You know who else you could add to that list?
Patrick Mahomes.
Lamar Jackson, Carr is getting better.
Nope.
How about
Todd Lebo?
Todd Lebo. Yeah. Now that there's
do we
your,
have Todd Lebo? Did
your,
Todd Lebo just
your
call
veteran,
in?
Veteran, averaging 8 shows a week.
Wow,
that's right.
8.5, I think. Yeah. Todd, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Doing great. Yeah, this is not a full show. It's remote though. We're out here in Lee Summit, my hometown, guys. Where I live at Kansas City Cards and Collectibles, and we're giving away tickets today to the 100-year celebration, right? It's next Thursday. So you can come by here till 10 o'clock and register, but they've told me that we can give away 10 pair of tickets to the first 10 people who come in.
Who told you that?
Luke told me. I believe Luke. He says he has the tickets with him. So,
Luke, can I tell you something?
And we're
you know what I've heard?
What's that?
Luke's a liar.
Luke is not a liar. Luke's the best.
Oh, okay.
He's
all
one
right.
of our good young bucks selling the ads out here. So we're here. We're ready. And he also, I'll tell you this right now, he just brought some Cinnabon cinnamon rolls in here. So you want a little sugar for your morning? Luke brought some cinnamon rolls in. And the first 10 people who through the door, starting at 8 today, we're going to give you a pair of tickets. So the first 10
what did you call him?
Register. He's one of our young buck salesmen out here. That's Luke. He's our youngster. He's getting out here getting it done. So where I am is Kansas City Cards and Collectibles. That's in Lee Summit. The address is actually on Blue Parkway, but if you know where 50 Highway is, near 3rd Street, on the north side of 50 Highway, back behind Johnny Ray's Barbecue, there's a strip mall in here. It's Kansas City Cards and Collectibles. It's a very nice store. They've got all the baseball and football cards. They've got autographed stuff from Chiefs players and jerseys, everything you want in here. It's very cool. If you want to buy football cards, autographed merchandise, it's Cards and Collectibles. And come by and get some of these tickets to this party we're having next Thursday. First 10 people through the door at 8 a.m., you get a pair of tickets. They're very cool. And if you don't get to be the first 10 people, just register, and then you could win today because we're going to give away several pair of tickets.
Where's it at again? What's the address?
Well, what do we say the actual address is? 818 Blue Parkway. 818 Blue Parkway, if you want to put it in your phone. But if you know what's going on in Lee Summit, you just come back here behind Johnny Ray's, which is a tasty place to get a tater tot and adult feed. So, over by the Jumping Catfish, you know where that is on 50. But it's 818 Blue Parkway, Kansas City Cards and Collectibles. We'll be here till 10. The first 10 people to come through today starting at 8 a.m. And I see people in the parking lot, so I don't know if they're waiting for 8 o'clock or they're staring at us through the windows. We'll see what's up. But they will get a pair of tickets. But if you don't make the first 10 people, this is still a good percentage chance to win, because if you register, we're not going to have a million people come through by 10 o'clock. These are good odds. You come out here and register, because we have a lot of pair of tickets to give away, okay?
See if they'll ask if they'll give you a Nick Bolton or Michael Massey rookie card for me. Just
now the people are getting out of their cars. They're coming at us already. Yeah.
I just think they want Todd Lebo's autograph.
What? Yeah. Time?
They're at the collectibles.
It's 46. Yes. 46. So, I don't think, I mean, Luke, you're the star of the Saints now. We'll make sure we take care of as many people as we can here. And if, like, if you're not in the first 10, you register. It's simple. Very simple.
Here's the deal, what you do now. Switch it around. Make it the second 10 now.
Oh, but I can't change it and make it the second 10.
Well, I can change whatever I want. I can change the rules. Stan, do you have any final comments for Todd Lebo, please?
Todd, it's always great to hear your voice. Can't wait to see you next Thursday night for the celebration, 100 years of WHB. Isn't that what we're celebrating?
Yeah, wow. Dan and I are going to be on the stage with someone who might have coached some football games in Manhattan. How about that? You ever heard of Bill Snyder, Stan?
Yes, that was Frank Martin that said that to me. Defense, have you heard of that, Stan?
It would have been good.
You heard of that one, Stan?
If Bill Snyder would have said that to you, that would have been even better. A little out of character.
He would have said, defense, special teams, and I'm an offensive guru, Stan. Have you ever heard of that?
All three phases, Stan. Figure it out.
Wow.
All right, guys.
Coach Snyder just would have looked at me and said, Stan, you know what you need to do.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lebo. Coach.
I want you to take a picture with the first person that comes in there and then either tweet it or text me. I want to see who the first person in line was.
We got it. We'll do it, buddy.
Thank you. That guy's all over the place, isn't he?
It's unbelievable. I mean, he is. I know he's around all the time. He's the ligament, I've said, right? I mean, I named him the ligament recently since COVID or whatever. He's here helping everybody, every show, every group work together. If it's the Drake, who does so many things behind the scenes, he and Todd have been rocks for WHB since it's been a sports station for so long. Todd is everywhere helping everyone, but the amount of time he's been on the air on different shows at different times, if you're a listener that listens all day, it's unbelievable how often he's on.
He can do it all, you know.
He can do it all, and he makes everyone around him better.
100%.
How about that?
Yep.
On the air.
He's the connective tissue.
And off the air.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want to blow out your Todd Lebo ACL. That would be very, very hard on everybody.
That would be terrible. Stan, that is going to be very exciting, though, to have you and Todd there with Bill Snyder on stage to be part of this 100-year celebration coming up on Thursday night at the Midland. It's going to be great to hear from Coach and to hear you talk with Todd up there. And Maybe you can get a chance to have Todd ask Coach Snyder about that great Big 12 championship victory at Arrowhead Stadium. I bet Todd would like to do that.
Hey, Todd. Coach, you remember when you beat Oklahoma in 2003, 35-7, when the Sooners were so of its Sooners? Todd Lebo believed, like everyone else, that was the greatest team in college football history before that
Todd
game started.
Todd storms off stage. Throws his mic down and gets angry. No, but that's going to be great. We're looking forward to Thursday. Stan, any final comments on what we've heard or your excitement level of everything that we've heard so far from a Chiefs training camp? As we get next week, there's a game, Stan. There's a preseason game. We can start evaluating players.
Well, you answered it for me with the explanation point. Games, training camp's awesome. It's so much fun. It's great that the fans get so close to the players, get to see how workouts and drills and everything else are done. But for me, I want to see real games with real officials on the big-time stage, and Soldier Field will be the first one. So even though Patrick Mahomes and guys like that won't play that much, with the Chiefs this season and only three preseason games, I want to see how these guys perform. The Elijah Lees of the world, the Gays of the world, Willie Gay. I mean, there's so many guys. And then you add on the rookies and free agents, and there's a lot to watch all the way through the fourth quarter, which is very rare. If it's not your team now, it's a little like baseball, NFL preseason. If it's not your team or a team that you're fighting with in a division, it's hard to watch these preseason games. But when it's a Chiefs game, there's information to be had all the way through the end of the game. So I'm really looking forward. And I love the fact that when they play in the afternoon, there's something really cool about that, an NFL game at noon. The Chiefs play the Chicago Bears next Saturday at noon. So it's what a great Saturday that's going to be. I don't have to wait till Saturday night. The Chiefs will be playing football in just over a week against the Bears. Can't wait.
Let's go.
Yeah, I would like to go, but I've been traveling too much lately. All right, Stan, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk more football with you next week. Now, up next, we'll talk to Gary Lees that can get the weekend forecast right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's check in with Gary Lezak. Gary, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's Friday. We made it. I'm sitting outside on a gorgeous Friday morning, but you can tell it's going to be a hot one, can't you? Can you feel it?
No, I'm in my hotel room, so no, I can't.
Well, we had outdoor soccer practice yesterday, and that was pretty hot. The kids Well, we broke for water. We did water breaks every 10 minutes.
Good. Good. It was 93 degrees yesterday. So we had about 93 today, 95 tomorrow, 96 on Sunday, and then back down into the 80s on Monday with a chance of rain and a few thunderstorms Monday. We need the rain. For the year, we've had 24 inches of rain, a little over 24 inches. The average is 24.85. We've had 24.45. So we've had almost the exact amount of rain. That's why everything is still green. We're just not wet. You know,
everything's so green.
I know. I recognize that quote. That's history of the world.
Everything's so green.
Everything's so green.
Oh, my. It is.
Oui, monsieur. Yes, a lot of it.
You look like the piss boy.
When you look like a...
You look like a bucket of...
What did you say?
No, nothing.
Oui. Yes, a lot of it.
Nothing.
Everything's so green.
Right.
I don't think Gary has any idea what we're talking about right now.
I have no idea.
Trust me, Gary, it's hilarious.
I believe it. I believe it. So, anyway, it's going to be a hot one today. So, how's everything up in training camp? Do you feel good about the team? I mean, I saw yesterday some projections that, you know, the Chiefs for the last few years have been projected to, like, win to the favorite to get the Super Bowl. They are not. They are not. Why not?
Because everyone's there's a bunch of haters around the NFL.
Yeah, they're underestimating. Right. Maybe it's good. Maybe the Chiefs need to be underestimated just a little bit. What do you think?
Well, it's real good.
Yeah.
Disrespect them. Count Patrick Mahomes out. Do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my. This is going to be exciting. Last night in the Hall of Fame game, there was lightning and thunder, and a thunderstorm came through at the beginning of the game. I'm like, no, because, you know, it's on NBC. It was on our station last night, and we came on late, so I'm a little tired today. But that was interesting. The Raiders are going to get full of themselves, and we'll be on our way. What are the chances the Chiefs win the division?
95%.
Wow, 95.
Nate?
That's scientific also.
69%.
Wow. 69%. That's good.
Oh.
You like that one? Didn't you? Gary liked that. He's like,
I know what buttons to push around here. I know what's going to get you going.
Oh, my. That's a pretty good percentage, 69%. Yep. So
that's scientific.
I'm going to lean towards Stephen and say, on a scale of 1 to 100, with 87 being the highest, we'll go 87% chance they win the division. They're going to win the division. I mean, it's a given. It's going to happen. So we'll see how injuries go and stuff. But it's exciting stuff. All right, guys, it's hot, it's humid, I got rainbow, I got sunny. We're going to go on a walk before it gets too hot, drink lots of water, plenty of water,
The heat is on, you know, 93 today. Do you know what the average high temperature is? 90. So 3 degrees above average. It's summer here in Kansas City. It'll be hot for a few more days, and then cooler on Monday with a chance of thunderstorms. And then it's going to... Sonny, what are you doing? Sonny just got a water bottle. That was a water
down
bottle.
Girl.
I know. Here, want to see? Here, Sonny, watch this. Here, Sonny.
Sure.
Sonny. Oh, yeah. Oh, if you could see this. You have to watch. What is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? Ready? What is it? What is it? Right. Speak. Speak. Ready? Stand. Oh, my gosh. You get us here. Good.
It's fantastic.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Right now, once again, it is 74 degrees already, a high of 93. I'm on my way to go get a good walk-in with the dogs. It sounds like they're getting hungry. Have a good morning, guys.
Walk them dogs, Gary. We'll be back after this with Eli Drinkwitz on WHB.